PCJ Radio International presents the longest-running international show, The Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Pehong.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to another edition of your program, The Happy Station Show from PCJ Radio International for this, the 7th of October, 2018. Very nice to have you with us today. And I think let's begin with music right away because I want to squeeze in as much music as we possibly can. This can be the start of something big. Tom Meyer and Friends.
You're walking along the street, or you're at a party, or else you're alone, and then you suddenly dig. You're looking in someone's eyes, you suddenly realize that this could be the start of something big.
You're lunching at 21 and watching your diet
girl,
declining a sweet dessert, accepting a fig,
fig, fig.
When out of a clear blue sky, it's suddenly gal and guy, and this could be the start of something big. There's no controlling the unrolling of your fate, my friend. Who knows what's written in the magic book?
But when a lover you discover at the gate, my friend, invite her in without a second look.
You're up in an aeroplane or dining at Sardi's
girl,
or lying at Malibu alone on the sand,
sand, sand.
You suddenly hear a bell, and right away you can tell that this could be the start of something grand.
This could be the start of something very big. Why don't you play your part? Please give your heart to me and see.
This could be the start of something wonderful. Why don't you take a chance? Just try romance with me and see.
Watching the sun come up, or counting your money
girl,
or else in a dim cafe, or ordering
wine, wine, wine.
And suddenly
there she is, you want to be where she is. And this must be the start of something, this could be the heart of something, this. It will be the start of something big.
This could be the start of something big. Tom Meyer and Friends, a live recording taken from a Happy Station show from many, many moons ago. Very nice to have you with us today for this, the first program for October 2018. And we do have some October stuff. Is that a good way of putting it? Yes, some October stuff coming up on the program today. So do stay with us. I do want to do... begin about talking about something which is rather funny, because I suspect there are some people out there that of course have heard about this, but maybe others are going, Keith, what are you talking about? That thing sounds very odd indeed. We have seen, especially over the last few years, a lot of changes with the music industry and how we listen to music. When I was growing up, it was, of course, LPs and 45 RPMs and tape. And, of course, then there was the digital age, and then kind of albums people said would just disappear. They never really did. That's the thing. And music on in the LP format actually has kind of come back. And if you look at the overall world sales of music... music in the LP format actually has been growing and kind of staying steady, whereas CDs have fallen dramatically, as well as MP3s, and of course a lot of people are doing streaming these days. So as a music format, LPs have kind of held on their own. I mean, now, like it was, new releases are coming out all the time. And in fact, a number of plants that were pressing LPs are running at 24-hour capacity. Now, of course, it's not going to be at the same level that it was maybe 30 years ago, but it's still there. I mean, I have a lot of LPs at home, and I still buy a lot of LPs myself. There were a lot of other music formats that kind of disappeared for a while and then have been making a comeback. One popular format that was very popular in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and probably until early 80s was open reel tape. Now, I do have an open reel tape deck at home. But also, in the last few years, new releases have been coming out in the open reel format, and there's a very dedicated group of enthusiasts, including a new open reel machine that came out, I think, last year from a company in Germany. But you can easily find very good quality and in very good condition open reel decks on the secondhand market. The Revox machine that I have, a Revox A77 Mark III with Dolby, I had bought new. And earlier this year, I had the whole deck completely rebuilt, meaning the electronics were rebuilt and everything. And it's basically a new machine again. The other one I have is a Lyrec, which is a Danish machine, which is also going to be going into service very, very soon. There is another music format prior to CD that was huge at one time, especially in the late 70s and 1980s, and virtually disappeared as soon as compact discs reduced in price. And that is the old trusty cassette tape. Now, cassette, in many ways, has a bit of a bad reputation. The reputation that of that being, well, there's a lot of tape hiss, and there are certain drawbacks. Now, there are releases that came out on cassette, and depending on where they were from, actually do sound fantastic. Now, releases that were released on good quality chrome tape, those ones are actually really good, and there's no problem with those whatsoever. However, I should say that there also were tapes that were released on a very low-quality ferric tape, which is a Type 1 tape, because they had Type 1, Type 2, 3, 5. I don't know if there was a 4, but there was a 5, and then metal tapes and so on. Now, cassette tapes can actually sound good, depending on how the recording was made and what kind of tape it is being recorded on. Now, in the last year, or maybe just over a year, a lot of things have been appearing on social media about cassette tapes making a comeback. Now, cassette tapes, as a music format, yes, it did disappear, but not really. A lot of independent bands and independent record labels were actually using cassette tape to send out songs and to send out albums, only because of the cost. It is incredibly, incredibly cheap. But this comes down to the thing of the equipment to play them on. Now, if you're on social media, you will see tapes, cassette players, that will appear for people that maybe will have collections at home and they want to digitize them. And a lot of these cassette decks are really, they're really poor. I mean, I'll put it as blunt as possible. They're rubbish. There is another word I'm thinking of using, but I can't really say it on a family program, but you can use your imagination. They are absolutely horrendous. The tape heads in them, and they don't keep a constant speed, and they just really are bad. You can, however, find good secondhand cassette decks on the market. There are a lot as well, just like with open reel players. But sometimes the quality of those is not as good as the open reel players. I'm not talking about the decks themselves, but I'm saying the condition. Yes, you can find cassette decks that are in good condition. Now, cassette decks, people are saying, are making a comeback. And cassettes themselves. I'm of the position, it probably will for certain things, especially for independent artists. But for major releases, I don't think that's going to happen. And the problem is, for example, in some places, like in the United States, there is one company that is manufacturing and dubbing tapes these days. But the quality of the tape that they're using is nowhere near the high quality chrome tapes that were released by BASF, Agfa, Maxell, and there was another company as well. I think Memorex was also one of them. And Sony as well put out some very good quality cassettes. So will it be making a comeback as we've seen happen to vinyl? We'll have to wait and see, but I wouldn't hold my breath. I still do have a lot of cassettes at home, and I do have a very one of the last high-end cassette players that Philips had put out. I mean, it sounds good. There's no question about it, but you know, I don't know, cassettes. I just don't like really like that format at all. You know, as I said to somebody, I said, ooh, what's next? Are people going to talk about the return of the 8-track? Now, there are some parts of the world you're probably wondering what that is, but 8-track was very popular in the United States. And basically, it was a cartridge that had a very long tape loop inside. And it's called 8-track because instead of a standard, say, open reel tape that would either have a 2 tracks... or 4, if you play in 2 directions like a cassette. An 8-track is exactly what it is. There are 8 tracks on it. And they really do. Actually, the funny thing about 8-tracks is that somebody said, when you bought an 8-track and you take it out of the packaging and you play it the first time, it sounds good. But then after that, the sound quality starts reducing the more often you play it. And that had to do with the simple fact that 8-track tapes were recorded not on a very good quality tape. And that because it's a tape loop, there's always friction. And 8-track playback units and record units always sort of had a tendency to get out of alignment. That's the playback head or the recording head would get out of alignment, because unlike a cassette player or open reel player, where the playback or record head is stationary, the 8-track, it would move about a bit. It would move up and down and everything. And it was a very sort of, I don't know, whoever designed the mechanism was a bit of a loon. It wasn't a very good mechanism. It was a very cheap mechanism. But anyway, cassette decks. Are cassettes coming back? We'll have to wait and see, but I would put my money on no on that one. That is for sure. I just thought I would mention that because this past week, more and more of these videos of cassettes are coming back, have been popping up more and more on Facebook, Instagram, also on Twitter. And on YouTube as well. If you want to find out more about it, just go to YouTube and just do a search, cassettes making a comeback, or are cassettes making a comeback, and you will find all the stuff. Anyway, today, of course, is October. I hope it is, at least. And the first show of October, and last week we didn't play too much music on the program, so I thought we'd rectify that today and try to play as much as possible. Here's a song now by Dickie Valentine with my favorite song. And it's actually one of my favorite songs by him.
should they play when we're dancing? Any time that we're dancing, that's my favorite song. Just any old tune is my favorite tune when we're dancing. And as long as we're dancing, that's my favorite song. You breathe a magic charm into the melody, weaving a mystic spell in every word just for me. My favorite song is the song that they play when I'm dancing. Anytime that I'm dancing, dancing with you. You breathe a magic charm into the melody, weaving a mystic spell in every word just for me. My favorite song is the song that they play when I'm dancing. Anytime that I'm dancing, but that's only true.
Dickie Valentine and my favorite song here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International. Last week, as you're probably aware, was the September 90th anniversary special. The one for this month is coming up, that is, on the 28th of October. And then, of course, the very special one in the month of November. But I don't want to talk about too much of that today, because I might, as I say, let the cat out of the bag. I've always wondered where expressions like that came from. Don't let the cat out of the bag. And things of that nature. That is actually one of my favorite ones. I mean, what happened? Was it one day somebody put a cat in the bag, in a grocery bag, and said, don't let it out? It's funny how these things, be interesting to find out where they come from. But it's amazing how a lot of younger people today, you can use something like that. Don't let the cat out of the bag, that's the pot calling the kettle black. And they have no idea what you're talking about. You get very, very strange looks indeed. Mind you, there's ones that they use sometimes that are a little bit funny. Speaking of funny things, you're probably aware of everything that's happened with Tesla, right? The owner of Tesla, the CEO, Elon Musk, of course, is stepping down, but he's still going to remain on the board. And last night, as I went out to dinner, I actually passed by a Tesla dealership that we have here in Taiwan. How would I put it? A or one? Yeah, we have actually one Tesla dealership here in Taiwan. In fact, on the Taiwan roads, I can tell you exactly how many Teslas are actually licensed and being used on Taiwan roads at this very moment. And that's because our Department of Motor Vehicles, they have a section that you can go to and you can find out make of cars, motorcycles, and so on that are actually on the road and how long it's been on the road. And in all of Taiwan, yes, in all of Taiwan, there are approximately, I should mention, of course, that Tesla has been here for just over 3 years now. Just over 3 years. There is approximately 8 Tesla cars on the road. And half of them actually have been resold to other people. Now, you're saying to yourself, that's very low. Actually, no, that is very low. And a lot of it has to do with, well, a few things. First, charging stations. There are so few charging stations involved here that you can actually get stranded in some areas. And one of the things that Taiwan is actually closely following when it comes to the electric car is actually not batteries, but waiting to see what happens with Japan and the use of hydrogen. Now, I'm a big supporter of... Well, let's go back to the beginning of that. Now, do I have anything against the electric car? No. Actually, I think they are fantastic because to have a car being driven by electric motors is actually fantastic because they're very efficient. My only issue with the whole thing about electric cars is batteries. That's my whole problem. If you check the history books, you'll find that at one time, just over 100 years ago, electric cars actually outsold petrol cars in certain markets. A few cities around the world even had fleets of electric taxis. So the technology isn't new. And the problems that persisted over 100 years ago with battery-powered cars is almost the same kind of issues that we see today with charging problems and all that. And yes, the range has improved and everything, but, you know, charging times, people will say, well, they have the quick chargers. The problem with quick chargers is that a quick charger will diminish the lifespan of the battery if you use it too often. And to wait around 6 hours to sometimes 8 hours to charge a car, that isn't really good enough. Now, hydrogen, on the other hand, has a lot of advantages, but a few disadvantages at the moment. One, of course, is the transportation of hydrogen, which is very complicated, and also the production, which is what they are working on. In fact, in Japan now, if you go, you can even rent a hydrogen car, and by the year 2020, there will be 80-plus hydrogen filling stations in Japan. Now, the advantage, of course, with a hydrogen car and building a hydrogen network is you don't have to actually build a new network. Because in Japan, they have shown that, well, you have a petrol station and then you can also have hydrogen being sold at the same petrol station. So there is no need to build an entirely new network, and you're not relying on batteries. And if you want to refill the hydrogen tank on your car with hydrogen, it takes about 3 minutes. That's the estimated time. But again, they have to work out certain issues with the transportation and the production of hydrogen, because it does take a lot of energy. But again, these are little minor details, you know. So, yeah, I definitely prefer the idea of hydrogen to run in a car. Now, some people say, yeah, but it's dangerous. Look what happened to the Hindenburg. Yeah, well, that was quite different. and the standard of safety that was involved in the Hindenburg, trust me, things have changed a lot. It's changed a lot, you know. When I was in Japan, I had a chance to drive a hydrogen car that I rented. It was a Toyota, and absolutely fantastic, you know. Went to a petrol station in just outside Tokyo and was able to fill up in 3 minutes. And the range, I think I got over 300 kilometers on that one. I was doing a lot of driving when I went to Tokyo. It was very efficient, you know. So yeah, we'll have to see what happens with the, you know, battery powered cars. The other issue that I have with a battery powered car, and you'll have to excuse me for a moment because this may sound like I'm going all environmental on you, but I'm not, is environmentalists will say, well, you know, electric cars are cleaner for the environment. Yes, that's true, because they're not putting out emissions. But one issue that I like to bring up with them is, have you ever looked at the production of batteries that are being used in electric cars? And the kind of rare materials and rare earths that are used in the production of batteries. And also the carbon footprint from just the transportation of the batteries. You know, it's not like you're manufacturing electric cars here at the plant and everything is made at one place. No. You have materials from one part of the world which are then sent on a container ship to another part of the world where it's processed. It's then put onto another container ship, sent to another part of the world where it's manufactured into batteries. It's then put onto other container ships, which is then distributed to other places. I mean, that's a simple way of putting it. But it is actually quite amazing. People think that green cars are clean, but they aren't. And they go, oh, well, you know, then we can use solar and wind. Not really much of an option. Wind power is good on small scales. Now, in the Netherlands, for example, the Dutch railway network gets most of its electricity from wind power. There's areas of the world, of course, that are building solar stations, which are incredibly vast, which is okay if you live in a very big country where you have the space, you see. But, you know, LPG and coal, I think, are still going to be around for some time. Coal, probably less so, but LPG is probably the way to go in the meantime. Of course, nuclear, but people get all funny about nuclear. Personally, I would have no problem living next to a nuclear power plant. And they go, yeah, but look at Fukushima. Well, nobody, you know, the thing about Fukushima that's interesting is that it wasn't the earthquake that caused the damage. In fact, Fukushima, there wouldn't have been any problem if there hadn't been a tsunami, because the station was designed to withstand an earthquake like it did, but it was the tsunami, which they are now addressing to the other nuclear power stations in Japan. And then people go, yeah, but look at Chernobyl. Well, Chernobyl, that was a few things that went wrong. First, it was a very poorly designed nuclear power station, and then human error as well. You know, so things have changed. I mean, if you use that kind of logic, you can say, oh, we should ban airplanes because airplanes crash, people die. See what I mean? But, you know, it's one of those things that people just get all funny about. But we'll have to wait and see what happens with electric cars. I think electric cars are going to be very successful in cities. For example, there's a car by Renault called the Renault Twizy, which is actually an electric car that I like. Well, it's not really it's more a quad bike, excuse me, than a car. Now, if I lived in a downtown area, that is the kind of thing that actually I would have. But if I didn't, and I don't, I'm not going to. But the Twizy actually is not bad. Nice little thing. And it's one of the few electric cars. And the thing is, it's slower than a Tesla. It's smaller than a Tesla. But actually, I think the Renault Twizy is more fun than a Tesla. You know? It's like the thing about electric cars is that, like Tesla, it's pretty much a cult car at the moment. while it is being produced kind of on a massive scale, I wouldn't call it exactly a massive scale. We need to get their output. But is it really an everyday consumer car? I don't think it is. It's too much of a cult car at the moment. You know, I think most people that are interested in cars are still interested in will be more interested in a Mercedes than a Tesla. You know, that's just the way it is. Okay, time for more music again. Kim Carnes and Bette Davis Eyes. Do I have those today? No, I didn't. I didn't have anything to drink last night. Bette Davis Eyes.
Her hair is hollow gold, her lips sweet surprise. Her hands are never cold. She's got Bette Davis eyes. She'll turn the music on you. You won't have to think twice. She's pure as New York snow. She got Bette Davis eyes. And she'll tease you, she'll unease you, all the better just to please you. She's precocious and she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush. She got Greta Garbo standoff size. She's got Bette Davis eyes. She'll let you take her home. She'll lay you on the throne. She got Bette Davis eyes. She'll take a tumble on you, roll you like you were dice, until you come out blue. She's got Bette Davis eyes. She'll expose you when she snows you off your feet with the crumbs she throws you. She's ferocious and she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush. All the boys think she's a spy. She's got Bette Davis eyes. She'll tease you, she'll unease you, all the better just to please you. She's precocious and she knows just what it takes to make a pro blush. All the boys think she's a spy. She's got Bette Davis eyes. She'll unease you just to please you. She's got Bette Davis eyes. She'll expose you when she snows you.
Yes, Kim Carnes and Bette Davis eyes here on Happy Station from PCJ Radio International for this, the 7th of October, 2018. Now, as I promised at the beginning of the program, we would play more music today and a little bit less talk, and we'll try to mix things up. So let's say in this part of the program, we try to play as much music as possible and keep the talking or the blabbing, as my case may be, to the limit or limited. To the limit, yes. Yes, I have no idea what that means. But anyway, let's do that now. And we are going to listen to one of my favorite pieces by this musician that he kind of, I wouldn't say co-wrote, but he did, he worked together with another musician to create an absolute classic. It was an easy listening classic, but it's just very nice. It just has a great, great sound. It's Zamfir and The Lonely Shepherd, of course, with the James Last Orchestra.
Voices were soft, and their words inviting, There was a time when love was blind and the world was a song. And the song was exciting. There was a time. Then it all went wrong. I dreamed a dream in time gone by, and hope was high and life worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. I was young and unafraid. Some dreams were made, used, and wasted. There was no ransom to be paid. No song unsung, no wine untasted. Tigers come at night with their voices soft as thunder as they tear your hope apart, as they turn your dream to shame. He took my childhood in his stride, but he was gone when autumn came. And still I dream he'll come to me, that we will live the years together.
I have a dream from Les Miserables, but not from the Broadway production, but from the soundtrack to the film that came out a few years ago, and I can't remember who did the vocals on that. Not a very nice song, actually. You are listening to Happy Station, coming to you from PCJ Radio International, trying to play more music in this part of the program. Now, of course, Les Miserables is a very famous musical, and there's a musical that's coming out, actually, quite soon, actually, in a few months. People are familiar with Mary Poppins that starred Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke. Well, they've actually done another version, a new kind of updated version of My Fair Lady. I think it's called My Fair Lady Returns or something like that. Mary Poppins. Not My Fair Lady. Mary Poppins. What am I thinking about? Mary Poppins, not My Fair Lady. My Fair Lady was with Judy Andrews and Rex Harrison. But Mary Poppins with Dick Van Dyke and, of course, Judy Andrews. There's another version that's coming out very soon. And it takes place many, many, many years later after the children have grown up. And it's an incredible cast that's actually in the film. Dick Van Dyke is actually in the film. He plays the old banker, which he also played as he played Bert in the original. He also played the banker, but now he is old, so he's playing the old banker. Angela Lansbury is in one short little scene as well, with many, many others as well. So I thought we would take a listen to a song from Mary Poppins. Not the film, but from a version of songs from that movie that were from an album that came out at exactly the same time as that film. And it's Ray Conniff and his orchestra and choir with A Spoonful of Sugar.
Oh, Mary Poppins is her name. Oh, Mary Poppins is her name. She flies through the air with her umbrella. And if you get a chance to go, you ought to try to see the show. You'll hear this song. It's one you're sure to know. Whoa, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine goes down, medicine goes down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way. In every job that must be done, there is an element of fun. You find the fun next step, the job's a game.
Pursuit. He has a merry tune to toot. He knows
a song will move the job along. For a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. The medicine go down, medicine go down. Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in the most delightful way.
The honeybees that fetch the nectar from the
Ray Conniff, his singers and orchestra with A Spoonful of Sugar. We have taken from an LP, as you can probably gather at certain points of that recording. All righty, we're going to leave you today with Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen with Ain't No Cure for Love, one of my favorite songs by him. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Pell, wishing you well, saying so long, au revoir, take care, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos. Not in that order, and sayonara.
I can't believe that time is gonna heal this wound I'm speaking of. There ain't no cure. There ain't no cure. There ain't no cure for love. I'm aching for you, baby. I can't pretend I'm not. I need to see you naked in your body and your thought. I got you like a habit and I'll never get enough. There ain't no cure. There ain't no cure. There ain't no cure for love. Ships are climbing through the sky. The whole air books are open wide. The doctor's working day and night, but they'll never ever find that cure for love. Subway, and I see you on the bus. I see you lying down with me. I see you waking up. I see your hand, I see your hair, your bracelets and your brush. And I call to you, I call to you, but I don't call soft enough. There ain't no cure. There ain't no cure. There ain't no cure for love. I walked into this empty church. I had no place else to go. When the sweetest voice I ever heard whisper to my soul, I don't need to be forgiven for loving you so much. It's written in the scriptures. It's written there in blood. I even heard the angels declare it from above. There ain't no cure. There ain't no cure. There ain't no cure for love. Ships are climbing through the sky. The holy books are open wide. The doctor's working day and night, but they'll never ever find that cure. That cure.